Morning, everyone. We're about ready to start, so if you all would try to sit, don't be all by yourself at a table, because after we see these little videos, we're going to have a discussion. So it would be nice if you had several people at each table. And to begin, I'm so delighted that we have our wonderful organist, and he happens to be the husband, it's Mark Audrey Graves, Sarah's husband, who's doing this wonderful job with the youth choir. Have you noticed how many more children we have now in the choir? And so anyway, he's going to play this hymn for us, and I would like everyone to sing this hymn and think about the words as you sing.
Spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the creatures with his word, then pronounce them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that I could be, thou God art present there.
We sang that at Canuga 2 weekends ago, and the whole time I was singing it, I thought, oh, this is perfect for creation care that we're going to be doing today. Thank you so much, Mark. I would just want to tell some of you who may not know about what the Faith and Justice Committee does. I'm just going to tell you quickly what our mission is. We work to educate parishioners and the community at large on issues that, in the context of our faith, bring us to being a community of justice, advocacy and action and service in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you probably heard this morning, the fourth Thursday of every month, we have a speaker on different issues. And this is our last speaker of the year. He's till September. He is Dr. Craig Richardson, director of the Center for the Study of Economic Mobility at Winston-Salem State University. And this is in Forsyth County that he's going to be talking about. And I'll let this be passed around. I know many of you have already gotten emails about it and everything, but just in case. And we're going to see some videos, and Jeff's going to help me get those going. But before we do, I would like to open with a prayer. This is the prayer that our committee prays before our meetings each month. Let us pray. God of peace, let us, your people, know that at the heart of turbulence, there is an inner calm that comes from faith in you. Keep us from being content with things as they are, that from this central peace, there may come a creative compassion, a thirst for justice, and a willingness to give of ourselves in the spirit of Christ. Amen. That came from the New Zealand Book of Common Prayer. And the videos that we're going to show you are done by Dr. Dan Spencer. He's professor of environmental studies at the University of Montana. He's also an ordained clergy member of the Church of Christ and has a PhD from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. And with that, Jeff's going to show us two videos.
This is one of the places where I'm really grateful for having some more training in biblical studies and theology. Not that you require that, but I just never knew the meaning of those words in Hebrew until I started doing my own seminary studies. And to find out that the word Adam comes from the Hebrew word Adam, and the Hebrew word Adam comes from Adama, which means the earth. So that Adam, in the biblical sense, literally means earth creature. It's not a proper name so much as the first being created from the earth, where God breathes God's breath into and animates it. So we in our very, very being are connected deeply to the earth. And the word Adama means both earth, but it also means soil, as in farmland, because the Hebrew people were really could not take for granted that they would have good soil. They lived in a harsh environment where being able to till the soil was a gift of God, but it was also a lot of work. And so our very identity is those who are created from the earth, created from the soil, and that's what it means to be a human person, a human being. And of course, our word human is connected to the word humus, or soil, in the same way. And then Eve means life. I mean, that this, as we're connected to the earth, we bring out life. And as Adam and Eve, as earth creature and life are united, we create the life that passes on there. And of course, the word Eden means delight. So God puts the first human beings in a garden that means delight there, and asks us to serve and till that soil. The word to till the soil, to serve the soil, the same word in Hebrew. And so it's a vision that obviously we don't always live up to, but it's a vision that animates who we are, that we're meant to be in community, we're meant to be in relationship, we're meant to be on this earth as part of this earth.
Yeah. No, Jeff didn't screw up. Jeff's wonderful. Yeah, it's right there. You know that little piece of paper? That, We all will pray real hard. And then the password is I hope you don't have to watch it from the beginning, but maybe that may be what happens.
Are connected deeply to the earth. And the word Adama means both earth, but it also means soil, as in farmland, because the Hebrew people were really could not take for granted that they would have good soil. They lived in a harsh environment where being able to till the soil was a gift of God, but it was also a lot of work. And so our very identity is those who are created from the earth, created from the soil, and that's what it means to be a human person, a human being. And of course, our word human is connected to the word humus, or soil, in the same way. And then Eve means life. I mean, that this, as we're connected to the earth, we bring out life, and as Adam and Eve, as earth creature and life are united, we create the life that passes on there. And of course, the word Eden means delight. So God puts the first human beings in a garden that means delight. there and asks us to serve and till that soil. The word to till the soil, to serve the soil, the same word in Hebrew. And so it's a vision that obviously we don't always live up to, but it's a vision that animates who we are, that we're meant to be in community, we're meant to be in relationship, we're meant to be on this earth as part of this earth, to till and care for the earth, in that process to pass on the gift of life to others, both other human beings through marriage, through being with another partner, but also through maintaining and all the diversity of life as part of this garden of delight. So it's this really wonderful, rich image that opens up the Bible, and the rest of the biblical story presumes that image, the goodness of creation, the delight in life, the delight we find in each other as earth creatures and passing on the gift of life. So I can't imagine a more wonderful way to start the Bible. We know that the good news only lasts a couple chapters. By chapter 3 in the Bible, we already have pain and sorrow and suffering and sin and temptation in there. And so that's part of the story as well, that we all are going to live with those after effects of hardship and pain. But the fundamental framing is of God's delight in the goodness of creation, and that we're an integral part of that.
God came down to save people. It's not like he made a covenant with animals.
Oh, you're wrong. You got to go back and read the Bible. Go back to read Genesis chapters 7 to 9, the story of Noah's Ark, one of the most important stories in the Bible, because it's one of the tragic things about that story is because of human sin, God destroys much of life on the planet, but accounts for life to continue. So Noah is instructed to take one pair of every species on the planet. It's the first story we have in ancient literature of the call to protect biodiversity, that all of life is valuable and important. But the amazing thing that comes out of that story is God reestablishes a covenant, only this time it's a covenant with all of life. And we have this beautiful image of the rainbow as God's reminder that God has established a covenant not just with human beings, but all of life. So you move from Genesis 1, where God repeats over and over again, before human beings even show up on the planet, God creates the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air and the plants and the animals and all of life. And every time God takes delight in that creation and says, it is good, it is good. So we know that creation is good quite apart from whether or not human beings are part of it. And yet human beings are a part of it, and God thinks that that's a part that's very good. But God establishes a covenant, a saving relationship with all of life, with all the planet, and promises to be there to promulgate it, to keep it alive and healthy. So that means humans have a tremendous responsibility. Our covenant with God takes place within this broader covenant of God's covenant with all of life. So we have a responsibility that we love what God loves, that we make sure that what God has put on this planet to thrive. And remember, the very first command to be fruitful and multiply doesn't go to human beings, it goes to the other forms of life. So God created a planet that wants to be full of all sorts of life, and we've got to be a part of that. Our responsibility, and this goes back to the compassion dominion, is to make sure that God's covenant with all of life includes our responsibility to protect all of life as well. That's hippie mumbo jumbo. I apologize. It goes back to the Bible.
What translation is that, Dan?
it's the original verse of it. You can find it in virtually any translation. You just got to read.
Darn it.
There's a little continuation.
That's an interesting one. It's the phrase compassion dominion. I have a number of my graduate students who would think that that's an oxymoron, that those terms contradict each other. So I have a number of people who are really concerned that the church, Christianity, has been much more part of the problem with the earth than part of the solution. But what I mean by that is dominion literally means to have responsibility for the care, the responsibility for. So same way parents have dominion over their children until their children are adults. That's the way we think about having dominion on the earth. And I believe that as Christians, we're called to have dominion, that is care, responsibility for another, the same way that God has that, with justice, with compassion. Too often, dominion has been interpreted as domination, that when God gives humans dominion over the earth, that gives us license to dominate and exploit the earth. But I believe that's really a misinterpretation, because in that very same passage we're talked about being created in the image of God, which means that if we're going to rule over something, we should rule in the same way that God does. And God gives rules with justice, with compassion, giving us freedom to make our own mistakes, but always loving us even when we fall and when we sin. And I believe for those of us who are Christian, the ultimate model of how we're to be with others is Jesus. And Jesus came not to lord over us, but to serve. He says, I treat you as friends. I call you to serve one another, love one another as I've loved you. So I believe that's a vision of compassion, and that's what should inform our notion of dominion. Dominion recognizes that we have a lot of power in our hands, and I think it's foolish for human beings not or to pretend we don't have power with the rest of the planet, because we do. We're affecting the planet in so many different ways, whether it's climate change or toxic waste or population issues. So many ways we're affecting the whole life on the planet, both other human communities and all of life. And so I think the biblical message is that to accept that we have this position of a lot of power, but we need to exercise it responsibly. And the biblical message on that is to exercise it through compassion, so that all of life can flourish, all of human beings can flourish with justice and equality. For me, that means always linking the biblical call to social justice with the biblical call to environmental stewardship, that those two need to be linked. And to the extent that we create a human community that's just, where all members of the human family have what we need to meet our needs, to that extent, we can also create a planet that's sustainable, where not only human beings, but all of life has what it needs to flourish. And that's what I mean by compassionate dominion.
Dan. Seems like we're getting into a bunch of hippie talk again. Let's get down to it.
I got
to
make this concrete.
What does this have to do with salvation?
What does it have to do with salvation? Again, I'm going to go back to this is where what my biblical studies taught me. The biblical word for salvation means to be made whole. Salvation can also mean liberation, being set free, to be made whole. There's a component of that looks to the future. We hope that our salvation and our hope and desire is that includes eternal life with God. But if we only focus on the future and salvation in the future, we miss the other part of the biblical story, which is salvation means healing and hope in our lives today. And God calls us into that and calls us to be active agents of that. So if this sounds like hippie mumbo-jumbo talk, I apologize. I could talk more specifically. It means taking care of our garbage. It means making sure that we leave enough habitat for the other creatures of the planet. It means living faithfully so that all have enough that they need to live. That means we got to deal with issues like policy issues, as Christians have to get into the nitty-gritty about how we organize our lives and how we do that. But salvation is both now and in the future. And we can't ignore we're being called into wholeness, into well-being now, and being asked to offer that gift to everybody. The gift comes from God, but it comes with a responsibility from us to live as saved people and to call other people into a saving relationship with God. And that saving relationship of wholeness includes a healthy, thriving planet that we live in.
So that was the end. I'm sorry that his face always seemed to be shaded. It was hard to see how he looked, but I loved his words. I think what he said is very profound, and it covers our relationships with each other, too, as well as with all the other creatures on the planet. We have a very diverse planet, very diverse people, very diverse plants and animals, and it's all part of his creation. And it's all our responsibility, those of us who are able, to care for all of it. So here we have some discussion questions here. And this is what I'd like the group to do. In each table, kind of sit together, make sure that there are people at every table. And if you would like to just begin, all of you, discussing these questions. You might just want to pick out one question to talk about, or you might want to go down the list, but just read the questions, and the last question, you may not, at the bottom line, I think you can read. about the environment by some are called tree huggers, hippies, or other pejorative terms was the rest of the, which you can't see on the screen. So have at it. I know we're having the best time getting to know each other, some people who may not have known each other before. That's what I love about these classes when we're sitting around the tables. It's different from being sitting in a pew and you're all kind of lined up, but now when you're all facing each other and talking to each other, it's a wonderful thing to see. Darby and I just had a little conversation, and she wants to form a committee here at the church, a creation care committee. And she said that she would like you to email her if you're interested in doing this, in being part of this committee. So, well, you might be going through it again, Janice.
I went to a wedding last weekend, and they specifically requested nobody bring anything in plastic, nobody bring anything, because, you know, it was like a potluck thing after the wedding, and it was at their home. But anyway, I just was so proud of that couple that said, you know, love for you to come, bring, but just nothing that can't be recycled.
That's wonderful. You have a comment, too.
Just for information, a lot of the things that the city doesn't take, other people will take. The grocery stores will take your plastic bags. Publix will take your foam egg cartons. Class 5 plastics, which are your yogurt containers, those can go to Whole Foods. They have a bin out front where you just put them in. It says Class 5 plastics. They have a bin out there that says recyclables. Unfortunately, there are a significant number of people who don't know Class 5 from Class 2 or Class 1. Your number's in the triangle.
And there's a little number in there.
And all of the cups that we have here when we have a supper, the little plastic cups, those are class ones. That's the same thing as a drink bottle. Drink bottle's class one. So all those are recyclable.
And even better, don't walk in the grocery store without your cloth bags. I mean, that's so easy. Just keep them in your car. And it's like fastening your seatbelt. And then try to buy produce that's not wrapped up in plastic. And say things to the stores, like, I'm going to say something to Trader Joe's. All their produce is right. I love to go there, but the produce is all wrapped up in plastic. So anyway, thank you all so much for being here. The berries
the berries and everything. And he said, what are we paying so that we won't have just a bruise on a strawberry or something? And all these single-use things that we're doing, like straws and the clamshells and all of that. And it's become, I know, it's just everywhere in the grocery store. So how are you going to, you know, do it differently?
I think those containers are all recycled.
They are, but still that's...
Yeah. Okay, well, I think a lot of people may be wanting to go to 11:15, so you have 10 minutes to get there. And thank you so much for coming. And thank you, Jeff. He's my hero.